It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hey there, welcome to this week's edition of the show. We are moving it to the weekends, still deciding whether Saturday or Sunday is going to work better, but welcome and thank you for sticking with us through this little bit of a tumultuous time where I've missed some weeks and whatnot, but thanks. Thanks for sticking with us. And before we get into the geek news this week, and it's going to be just really geek heavy, there's a couple other things I wanted to touch on. This topic came up on my radio show this week, and I thought it was worth bringing here just because it's such an interesting one, and different things hit us all very differently. But I started talking about kind of the saddest moments in kids' movies. You know, the movies that were just made for kids but crushed you as an adult. I think as a kid, you don't even understand just how sad some of these moments are. So I was talking about it on my radio show. And, you know, mine, the one that I always think of is from Inside Out. Riley's imaginary friend, Bing Bong, the pink elephant. When the imaginary friend realizes that Riley doesn't need him, her anymore, and basically sacrifices himself, is soul crushing to me. Like, I was in a theater by myself bawling. Even the kids were looking at me like, what's wrong with that guy? So that one was one for me. Some that came up on the show, like The Lion King, when Simba watches his dad die and then tries to like wake him up. Like, that was rough. And the geek tip from Transformers, the movie, Optimus Prime dying. Like, are you kidding me? That was a rough one to watch. I mean, there's a ton. So I'd love to hear yours. You can always let me know what your kind of soul-crushing moment in a kid's movie was. You can find me, The Scotty Myers Show, on Facebook and Instagram, and of course, at Scotty Myers on Twitter as well. I mean, there's a ton of them. And, you know, the more I talked about this and we talked about it on the show, it was one of those things where it was like, a lot of them are Disney movies. You know, and as a parent, I remember my parents, and I've seen other parents do it since, where they're like, oh, you know, it's a Disney movie, let your kids watch it. And it's like, man, most of these Disney movies are really sad, at least have a moment of real sadness in them, that it's like, are you sure this is okay for kids? Like, you know, you go Bambi, obviously Up, Lion King, the list kind of goes on and on, really, of sad Wall-E, the whole freaking movie is a depressing thing. Like, that Wall-E is, to me, the scariest and most depressing film ever from start to finish, partly because we're living it. Like, I can see that future. You know, sometimes you watch like a futuristic movie and you're like, man, I can't picture that. You know, like us traveling through space, like Aliens, for example, right? Us traveling through space, I have a hard time picturing that. I know it could happen, but I can't picture it. The future of Wall-E, with everybody just sitting around on floating, you know, hover crafts watching screens, I have a real easy time picturing that. Real easy. So it's Wall-E to me is like scary, very, very scary. But anyway, if you have any that stick out for you, please share them with me. Again, the socials, Scotty Myers Show, Facebook and Instagram, at Scotty Myers on Twitter. Another thing I wanted to touch on was this huge uptick in cases in the U.S. I've kind of been hoping it would go away, but it doesn't seem like it. And it's getting to the point where it's definitely going to, I think, going to mess up a lot of plans for people come the fall. It's scary to me. And I know there's, you know, what I don't want to get into like a vaccination, unvaccinated debate, partly because we can't really debate it. It would just be me talking and then you cursing me or agreeing with me. But it's just one of those things. I think there's a lot of people, whatever side of the fence you fall on, that's gonna really fuck up your fall plans. Like, I've even had family members come to me and go, are you still planning on going to Disney in November? Because I'm signed up for a half marathon. I'm training for it. And I'm like, yeah, I still am as of today. But, you know, it's been my wife. She was like, you know, maybe we should monitor that. And, you know, maybe end of September comes, beginning of October, and if things aren't better, you may want to consider canceling. And it's like, yeah, maybe. And that's depressing to think about. I don't want to think about that, but I mean, I think a lot of people are in that boat. So, you know, just I guess if you do have fall plans or you're hoping to do something in the fall, just try and keep an eye on it and make the decision that's best for you. But man, I need me some Disney magic, so I'm praying that I get to go. Let's jump into the geek news, shall we? There's some controversial stuff this week in the geek news, so we'll get to that in a second. We'll start with Star Wars. Mandalorian Season 3, apparently, according to Carl Weathers, that will start shooting next month. Also confirms Carl Weathers will be back in Season 3. Kind of figured he would be, but him saying that things don't start shooting till next month definitely confirms that he will be back. Of course, it's going to be sometime in 2022 that we get Season 3 of Mando. Of course, in December, we're going to get The Book of Boba Fett, so we're not going to be without some live-action Star Wars this year, but we got to wait a little bit for Mandalorian. But speaking of Star Wars and Disney+, they have officially renewed The Bad Batch for a second season. We knew that. And then another animated show, Visions, they dropped a new trailer for that, and it looks really cool. They went to some of the top anime studios and got them to basically do some Star Wars stories. So it definitely has anime feel. It's all anime style, but the stories look really cool, like the little bits that you can get out of the trailer. It's definitely a different take on Star Wars, but one that I think will be very interesting to watch. And if the stories are as good as they look in the trailer, it's going to be stellar. It's going to be really, really good. So I'm very, very excited for Visions on Disney Plus. And speaking of the live action shows, I think it was the last episode we mentioned that Sabine is rumored to be making her live-action debut in the Ahsoka show. Well, now there's rumors out there that Disney is already trying to cast Sabine. And much like they did with Ahsoka, it doesn't look like the voice actress is in consideration. A lot of people were upset when Ashley Eckstein wasn't cast as the live-action Ahsoka. Instead, Rosario Dawson was. Taya Sarkar, who voiced Sabine Wren in Rebels, is now in a similar situation. So a lot of people are tweeting her, definitely saying that she should be cast and that. And she is staying very positive. You know, she wanted to basically let Star Wars fans know that she feels the love when, you know, people are nominating her for the live action role. She said, "You guys are honestly the best. Just wanted to pop on here to tell you I've seen all of your sweet tweets, memes, hashtags, and calls for petitions. And man, y'all really know how to make a girl feel loved. Thanks, friends. Love you right back." Now, she's not out of the running. Disney has not said that, you know, it's impossible for her to get cast in this. But I have a feeling if they're, you know, doing a wide net kind of casting thing, kind of makes me think she's not at the top of the list, much like they did with Ashley Eckstein. So I'll be curious to see how that shakes out for Ahsoka and for Sabine making her live action debut. And now for the part where Disney gets a little controversial this week. Not so much controversial in what, I guess it is controversial in what they did. I'm trying to figure out the best way to describe this. So Star Wars has officially revealed the new name of Boba Fett's spaceship. Now, formerly it was known as Slave One. And to my recollection, and I'm just going by memory here, they never refer to it in the movies as that. I think we only got its name from toys, right? Initially. Anyway, obviously, with a name like Slave One, and in kind of the world that we're living in right now, you can see why a company may want to change that name, especially if they're going to start pumping out a shit ton of new toys. You know, from a marketing standpoint, you're just getting ahead of, if they had put out a new Slave One, you know, ship, buy it now, you know, in this world, somebody would have complained, rightly or wrongly. That's not for me to decide. I'm not the person complaining. But Disney was like, no, we're going to change its name. You know, Boba Fett's going to be huge this winter. So we're definitely going to change it. And they changed it to Fire Spray. Okay. You know, not the best name for a ship, in all honesty. And it's like, yeah, it's okay. It doesn't leap off the tongue. But it is what it is. So his ship is now known as the Fire Spray. And some Star Wars fans are just losing their minds over it. To me, it's like, I honestly don't give a shit what the ship is called. Like, it's still the badass ship that he flies in. It's not like they changed it. That's one way they could have went with this. They could have just scrapped Slave One. And someone could have went, well, we got this really cool new design for a ship. Let's give that to Boba Fett. And then, you know, we'll ditch his old one. It's got a, could be seen as a problematic name. So we're going to ditch that and we'll give him this new ship that'll be cooler and better. And it never is, right? Like, nothing is ever cooler or better than the original. So at least he still has his original ship. Again, I don't care that it's called Fire Spray, but some Star Wars fans going on Twitter, going online, saying it's always going to be Slave One. You know, Disney sucks. They're ruining Star Wars, blah, blah, blah. Honestly, I think if your love of Star Wars is that fragile that changing a ship's name makes you no longer enjoy Star Wars, there's something deeper going on there. Like, honestly, at the end of the day, it does not matter what Boba Fett's ship is named. Now, if they woke up tomorrow and were like, you know what, we're not going to call it the Force anymore. We're going to call it Twinkly Feelings. Yes. Then let's all get up in arms. Okay. Yeah. They want to drop the Force. You know, oh no, you know what? We got to change the name of the Sith because it's too close to shit. And, you know, kids are mispronouncing it. So we're going to just call them, you know, evil bad guy guys. No, again, no. It's the Sith. It's the Jedi and the Sith. That's too much. A ship that literally you see on screen in the films maybe four times. You know, really, like, it's not that often that you see Boba Fett's ship in the films. And, you know, now he's going into his own series. And again, you're going to want to market the hell out of him. Making that change to me, nah. Yeah. Does it bother me? You know, I grew up with the original name. That's what my toy box said when I bought it. But at the end of the day, again, it doesn't matter to me. That, to me, is such a small thing. Disney making that change is not ruining Star Wars. They didn't somehow come along and shit on 40 years of memories and storytelling by changing the name of a ship. Again, Millennium Falcon changed the name of that ship. Yes, because it's so integral to the story. I mean, at one point when I was a kid, I thought Vader was more concerned about, you know, getting the Millennium Falcon than he was about getting Luke or anybody else. I thought he just wanted the ship. So again, things like that, that are so tied into the story. Yes, those need to be kind of guarded, but these ancillary things that are just on the fringe of the story, meh, changing the name of a ship, not that big a deal. Again, you can go, if you search, like, hashtag Star Wars is ruined, Disney kills Star Wars, you will find a ton of stories about how the changing of this ship name was the worst thing to ever happen in the entire series. Like, Jar Jar, way better than Fire Spray. Whatever. Anyway, let's move on to Marvel. What If Season 2 is coming. What If Season 1 is two episodes in, but we already know that they're going to do a Season 2. And Kevin Feige has come out and said they're really going to focus on Phase 4 movies for Season 2. So they're really going to try to expand on kind of the next wave, as it were. So not knowing what stories they'll do What Ifs for, but knowing, like, the movies in Phase 4 are Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Eternals, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange 2, Thor Love and Thunder, Black Panther 2, The Marvels, Ant-Man and Wasp, Guardians 3, and then Fantastic Four. Those are all your movies in Phase 4. And then in the television series part, you got WandaVision, basically all the TV shows that have come out so far, right? M1's to come, like Ms. Marvel, Moon Knight, She-Hulk, Secret Invasion. They'll definitely do a What If episode on Secret Invasion. There's no way. I could see one on Loki as well. Like, you know, what if the TVA took over or something like that, right? Definitely there's going to be some different what ifs coming out of that. I'm sure one will come out of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, because there's going to be a lot of different possibilities in the multiverse. So it lends itself very easily to a what if type scenario. So that's going to be happening. I would say we'll probably get season two of What If, probably, I'm going to guess, 2023 is my guess, early 2023. They did drop, speaking of Phase 4, they did drop a new and final trailer for The Eternals. I got to tell you, the trailer looked phenomenal. Really good. And it also feels like the least Marvel movie, if that makes any sense. It doesn't feel as lighthearted as most of the Marvel films feel. Like, even the trailers for Endgame or Infinity War, like any of the ones that were kind of like downers, still the trailer still had a real lighthearted feel, and they were still like popping jokes in there. And they still pop some jokes in the Eternals trailer, but the film definitely feels more grounded, at least from the trailers, than any of the previous Marvel ones. So I'll be curious to see if that is the actual tone of the film. I mean, sometimes trailers can get cut in one way and the film doesn't end up playing that way. But I will say, from the trailers, I am very, very excited for Eternals. And it's a property I don't know much about. I didn't read Eternals. It wasn't something that grabbed my attention when I was a kid reading Marvel. It's really when I read Marvel comics was when I was younger. And so I'm going into it kind of fresh-eyed, and I will say I'm excited based on the trailers. Loki Season 2 has lost its director, in a way. Kate Herron, who was the director of Season 1, she said it was always her plan just to do the one season, and she didn't know that they were going to do a second season, so she's not kind of on board. She said she's excited to see it, but she won't be directing it. That may delay Season 2 a little bit, because now you have to find a new director. So rumor is that we won't get Loki Season 2 till probably late 2022, early 2023 is kind of the time frame right now. This story came up this week, and I thought this was already confirmed. So when I saw it as confirmed, I was like, oh, shit. I didn't think this was news at first. Captain America 4 is confirmed, with Anthony Mackie in the role of Captain America. Kind of thought we knew this already. Like, that was the whole point of Falcon and Winter Soldier. The entire show was who was going to be the next Captain America, and it only seemed logical. And I thought they announced it right after the finale of Falcon and Winter Soldier, that we were getting another movie with Anthony Mackie as Captain America. But apparently that was all just heavy rumor, even though it looked like on some news sources that it was being reported as 100% confirmed. Well, now it is 100% confirmed. So, in the no shit department, we're getting Captain America 4 with Anthony Mackie as Captain America. One of those upcoming Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 4 TV shows is Ironheart, and it has been confirmed that Ironheart, or Riri Williams, will be in Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever. So we'll see her there before we see her own TV show on Disney Plus, which looks like right now it's limited to be a 6-episode series. Good news to see Ironheart. I'd be curious to see if they're going to take her into a Young Avengers type role, because it definitely looks like they're building that team. Or will they, kind of have her grow up quickly and turn her into a full-on Avengers type role? That's, still kind of left up in the air. I wouldn't be shocked, though, if they build Young Avengers as maybe their next great team, because it'd be a little different than what we had previously seen with the Avengers. So it would make sense. Switching over to DC, Catwoman is getting her own anime film. Catwoman Hunted is the name of the film, and it's apparently next on the DC animation docket, Warner Brothers Animation. It's going to star Catwoman as well as Batwoman, and we've got some of the cast. Elizabeth Gillis is going to be doing Catwoman. Stephanie Beatriz is of Brooklyn Nine-Nine fame. She's going to be Batwoman. Black Mask will be in there. Solomon Grundy, Talia al Ghul, Tobias Whale. There's quite a few characters that will be in Catwoman Hunted. So interesting to see Catwoman getting the lead in an anime film. Very much looking forward to checking this one out. I always think Catwoman's kind of an underutilized character, especially when most of the time they just, have her paired with Batman. So it'd be nice to see her kind of out on her own. Fortnite continues to become a haven for comic book characters. And of course, DC's doing an entire Fortnite comic book series with Batman. And now another DC hero has found their way into the game. Wonder Woman arrived this past week in Fortnite. So if you're a big Fortnite player and you haven't grabbed the Wonder Woman skin yet, you may want to do that. So it was a very successful campaign online with hashtag release the Snyder Cut. So successful, in fact, that it worked. So that kind of tactic is continuing with a release the Air Cut hashtag and the hashtag make the Batfleck movie. Now, both of these were trending pretty heavy in the last week. Release the Air Cut is to release David Ayer's original version of the first Suicide Squad film that was really recut by different editing houses, and it's very much a different take than Ayer's original script and original vision, so much so that we barely see the Joker in that film, and he was a much bigger part of the movie. So I'm on board with this, by the way. For the record, as much as, you know, if you listen to this podcast and you heard my review of James Gunn's Suicide Squad and how much I loved it, and I did, and I still think about how great that movie is, I'm a huge fan of David Ayer, and I'm a huge fan of these characters. And I say that all the time, that to me, the characters come first. And I just want to see these characters as much as I can. And David Ayer is a great filmmaker. I feel terrible for him that his vision of these characters was so mishandled. So I would love to see his take on the Suicide Squad. It seems online at times, especially with these hashtag movements, that you can't like both. You know, you can't be in both camps. You can't be like, hey, James Gunn made a hell of a movie. I hope he makes more. I want to see David Ayer's movie. And if he made a great movie, maybe they can convince him to come back and do something too. I mean, I think he did make a good film, and so much so, in fact, that when Margot Robbie was talking about doing a Gotham City Sirens film, she wanted David Ayer to be the director. So I'm sure his version is fantastic. I liked what I saw in the theater, and I knew it wasn't his version. So I'm dying to see his version of the movie. And same with Ben Affleck. I love his Batman. I'd love to see his movie, but I'm on board for what's coming as well. So I think it's okay to be in. They're not mutually exclusive. You know, like, you can like what's coming and you can like what DC has coming up on their plate as far as movies go, and you can be excited about it while at the same time wanting them to maybe go back and correct some mistakes they made along the way. I think that's a fair way to look at it, and anybody that kind of says anything else online, I take huge, huge umbrage with, because I grew up with these characters, especially DC characters, mean a shit ton to me. So I want to see them treated well. It does bug me when they're not treated well, but just give them to me. Like, you know, you tell me you're making a movie tomorrow of a character, I'm on board. Really want to see it. So I'd love to see Ben back as Batman. That would be great. I want to see the Air Cut of Suicide Squad. If they want to rehire Zack Snyder to make some more stuff, that's cool. You know, if James Gunn's going to make some more stuff, that's cool. I want it all. I'm greedy. I want it all. Speaking of James Gunn and his Suicide Squad, apparently he initially didn't want or didn't think about having Starro as the main villain. Initially, he thought about having Superman as the main villain. And his initial thought was Superman versus Suicide Squad, which is actually going to be a game. And maybe that's what made him change his mind. He said it was just kind of, there's a little bit of uncertainty right now around Superman at Warner Brothers and DC. Like, who is Superman? Who is the DCEU Superman? You know, and that type of thing. There is mention of Superman in Suicide Squad. It's in the trailer, so it's no spoiler. But they mentioned that Bloodsport put him in the hospital, shooting him with a kryptonite bullet. So it would have made sense having Bloodsport in there if you did Superman versus the Suicide Squad. I'm kind of glad they didn't, though, because I've said it before on the show, and I'll say it 1,000 times. I'm really kind of over evil Superman. And I have a feeling in that movie, he definitely would have been portrayed more as a dick than a hero. And, you know, I'm just kind of over evil Superman. I want good guy Superman. I think the world needs good guy, big blue Boy Scout Superman right now, more than it needs evil Superman. So I'm definitely glad it went another way. And speaking of movies, we know HBO Max is making a bunch of DC movies. We got the Blue Beetle movie coming, Batgirl coming, and now Black Canary. And I am so, so excited about this. So a Black Canary movie is in development. Lovecraft Country showrunner Misha Green has been tapped to write the screenplay. And Jurnee Smollett, who was in Lovecraft Country and played Black Canary in Birds of Prey, is back as Black Canary. And I'm really excited about this. One of the, I don't want to say best things of Birds of Prey, but one of my favorite things in Birds of Prey was the reluctant hero of Black Canary and her arc in that film of kind of turning her head and ignoring everything to shit, I can help, and kind of accepting what she can do, especially by the end when she finally lets out her canary cry. I'm on board for seeing more of this character because now she's at the heroic point. So we can have a full-on heroic Black Canary in this film. I'm super, super excited about it. I'm glad that that they didn't recast because I thought Jurnee Smollett's Black Canary was really well done. So I'm really, really looking forward to this. I've got my finger crossed on this. I don't know if it'll happen because it is being billed as a Black Canary movie. But I'd love to see the Huntress back. I thought Mary Elizabeth Winstead was great in that role. I'd love to see Renee Montoya back, or Rosie Perez was good there. I'd love to see kind of that Birds of Prey team back. I don't think we'll get it. Maybe we'll get an Oliver Queen in this, though. You know, that could be one way they go with this movie, is she could meet Arrow, Green Arrow. You know, we could get our DCEU Arrow here, and which would be great. You know, a Green Arrow, Black Canary romance, that is so core to both of their characters. I would love to see that find its way into this movie. If not this one, maybe a follow-up. I'm already writing maybe a sequel, but super excited about this. My only nitpick on all this stuff, and because this falls in with Titans, which season 3 is premiered and I haven't been able to see because I live in Canada. So this is my only problem with all these badass movies being announced for HBO Max, like Blue Beetle, Batgirl, Black Canary, you got Titans on there, Doom Patrol season 3, which starts soon. I can't get these in Canada right now. Super frustrating. Super frustrating. So before these things start to drop, HBO, Warner Brothers, get your act together and get HBO Max in Canada. I will step off my soapbox now. That will do it for this week's edition of the show. Thank you so much for joining me. Don't forget, spread the word, tell your friends, and we will be back again next week with another edition of the show. And again, follow us on all the social media platforms that are out there that we're on. Instagram, Facebook, just look for The Scotty Myers Show, on Twitter, @ Scotty Myers. And until we chat again, have a great week.